Let's get away from it all for a moment. Off a busy street in the center of Manhattan's Chinatown, you can walk amongst some scary, villainous, and even romantic superheroes. And our blogger friend and writer of the Wall Street Journal's Dow Jones column, Jeff Yang, took us on a tour last week of the Museum of Chinese in America, where a new exhibit tells the troubling story of Asians in America through comic book artists and imagery. It's a narrative of sentimental Hollywood pop Buddhism and grim xenophobic wartime stereotypes.
Back in the 40s, when the comics were in their heyday, when essentially 50% of America, man, woman, and child, read comics, they were a mainstream medium, was also a period when the images of Asians in particular reflected wartime propaganda, reflected the interaction of America with, you know, its desire to frame Asians as the enemy. The top one up there is the Yellow Claw. And the Yellow Claw is interesting because he's actually the first Asian character to get his own comic book. And he was a supervillain, not a hero. But he essentially was a kind of Fu Manchu Mankei, replicating this idea of the evil puppet master trying to conquer the world.
There is a hidden world where ancient evil weaves a modern mystery.
What's going on here? Is this some kind of...
magic. The darkest magic.
Ow! And then in the bottom here.
The bottom is a kamikaze pilot preparing for his bonsai mission.
The enemy's last desperate gesture was reduced to kamikaze raids on a fleet that had come to stay.
But the truth is, I mean, when they've actually done interviews with some survivors and some people who are family members, there was, you know, heart-wrenching loss that was experienced, and people were, in many cases, forced into planes or even tied down so they could not actually leave, forced to actually use their lives.
No ejector seats in
it. No ejector. Not at all. The Guru.
Very familiar.
Yes. I mean, you know, all the way up through the Karate Kid today and back through history, there have been individuals who claim to be able to kind of draw from ancient Chinese secrets, you know, ancient Asian wisdoms, supernatural powers. And they're always transmitting these abilities to disciples, you know, more often than not white, who can then carry out the true mission of saving the universe.
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off. Hey, wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Concentrate. Look in my eye. Lock a hand. Thumb inside. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat.
It's very familiar here, these two, actually.
When you look at the male figures, it's almost always coming out in the form of alien foreign creatures. But then for women, you dive down this rabbit hole where every Asian woman has this sort of plunging neckline and secret mystical ways to beguile men. And so the temptress becomes this persistent trope.
Power belongs to no one until it is seized through sex. And violence.
I mean, what's really interesting is you almost always see this passion play where the evil tyrant has a grandniece or granddaughter or something who is a dragon lady type, a temptress, and then eventually betrays her conquering uncle or whatever because she falls in love with the hero.
So take us quickly through some of the characters who are designed to fight some of these stereotypes from new comic book authors.
We wanted to actually look beyond the litany of these images to speak to how these images are being transformed by Asian American creators today. G.B. Tran, he's actually told in this epic volume the story of his family's history. He's Vietnamese American, and you'll see in almost incredible detail the cinematic story of how his parents ended up in America, how his family ended up in America, told in hundreds of pages in Vietnam, in the book Vietnam America itself. So he actually shared with us his work process, and it's incredible the detail that he actually uses.
No, it's really realistic. It's almost documentary style. I mean, you really get a sense of these crowds, the shanty village,
There are hundreds of figures here, and you know the process by which he actually tells the story is also kind of laid bare here, from ideas and frames all the way through to story arcs, to the painted finish of the actual book.
Woman artist over here.
Yeah, Christine Norrie. She's Thai American, biracial, and she's an example of somebody who we thought was kind of telling a different kind of story, much more sort of, you know, smaller. conversations, if you will, and characters that are really richly told, relationships, breakups, makeups. But she's an incredible artist, and her line is so clean and so beautiful. And you know, a lot of what she tells about in her personal story is also really interesting because she is a child of a soldier and a woman who met that soldier, and they parted and so forth. And she owns her story, and she tells it. And I think that maybe in part of the reason why she's focused so much on emotional relationships is, I mean, as I think most graphic novelists, they're kind of talking to things within themselves. I think that so many Asian Americans, especially Asian American guys, grew up reading comic books because they are the ideal genre for anybody who feels a little bit outside the norm, a little bit on the margins of society. And they're also stories that talk about people with multiple identities, people who are kind of trapped between worlds, not able to fully be true to either. The thing is, when you look at the heroes, you can imagine them as being anything behind the masks, because the heroes always wear masks.
What are the roots within Asian culture of some of these symbols, not simply the imposition of these stereotypes? And how much do Asian Americans or Asians find some of these stereotypes maybe useful sometimes?
It's a really great question. I think that there is a sense in which archetypes don't just emerge out of thin air, out of vacuum. There are things that are enlarged and exaggerated and caricatured within our culture and our history. You look at the lotus blossom, you know, this archetype of the self-sacrificing, passive Asian woman. Well, the fact is, through history, there has been a particular impulse to place women in that role in Asian cultures. I mean, in Western ones as well. But, you know, you can't look at these and say that it's all because of an exterior drive to depict us a certain way. This is almost, again, holding up a mirror to ourselves, and one that exaggerates, yes, but it's one that forces us to confront some of this history.
So, finally, how much of this exhibit and the exploration of these stereotypes is a mission of liberation for you?
We live in a world, even today, where these images persist. We can't really liberate ourselves from these things, from xenophobia, from fear of the other. We have to live with it.
But there's a little bit of take that in this exhibit.
Yeah, I will say that this did give me a chance to kind of apply some choice body blows to artifacts of my past, that's for sure.
The exhibition Jeff Yang curated will be on display at the Museum of Chinese in America through February 2013. To see some slides of the show, log on to thetakeaway.org.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.